What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. As we do on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock, we chat with my old friend Mark Starling up in Asheville, up there in the mountains of western North Carolina, the Paris of the Southeast, it once was referred to, but not in a very long time. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you, Pete?
I am well as well. So Mark does mornings on WWNC in Asheville, former colleague of mine, and I have an idea. And you know okay. me, I have lots of ideas, particularly when it comes to tourist campaigns, right?
So, okay.
It's right in my wheelhouse. So I'm thinking, get jabbed in Asheville.
It's kind of a little COVID-y.
Yeah, well, you're not the target demo, Mark.
Oh, right.
Right, so right. We're trying to attract the more, neurotic and progressive tourists, and so you want to, yes, convey the jabbing because they will associate it with the COVID-19 shots, and so get jabbed in Asheville jab Asheville.
You could extend that a little bit, and since you wanted to use, since you want to make sure you're getting the most bang out of the tourist dollar, and
of course,
you want to make sure you get the Tourist Development Authority in there, right, for a whole county,
right?
How about boosted in Buncombe?
Love it. Get boosted in Buncombe. Yeah. Because it also could mean that you have your stuff stolen, too.
Right. That's exactly right. Freely hand in hand. This is a win-win all the way around.
Right. So in case you were thinking about going to Asheville, I'm sure the Tourism Development Authority, the TDA, right? Sure that they are super excited about the publicity that they are getting over the jabbing that occurred. I know when we spoke earlier, I was calling it a stabbing, but it's not really a stabbing. It's a jabbing because there's a fella, 29-year-old Julian Brian MacArthur, who took matters into his own hands when he was not given money from a tourist. When he asked that tourist for money, as is known to occur on the streets of Asheville, basically every single corner. So tell us, what makes the jabbing so newsworthy?
Well, so originally, when the story was originally reported, and granted, the headline, homeless man stabs tourists with dirty hypodermic needle, I mean, that's a headline. That's an attention grabber, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know. But I think the essentially what happened, this tourist, broad daylight, right on Biltmore Avenue, right across from where the Vance Monument used to be, walking along, homeless individual, individual experiencing houselessness,
right,
approaches this tourist, and asks for money. The tourist says, "No, I don't have any money to give you," and turns around. And it was at that point that a dirty hypodermic needle was lunged into his back. So that's a pretty crazy story. But I think the actual story got buried within the story. And that is, it wasn't the homeless guy's hypodermic needle. That hypodermic needle was just laying on the ground available for that homeless man to pick up and stab that tourist with. So...
Oh, you got to admire Jason Bourne, right? The Jason Bourne element there, like the grabbing of the magazine, rolling it up and sticking it in the toaster oven, in order to start the fire. Like there's a certain level of ingenuity that I do appreciate, but there is a level of concern. Like I'm old enough to remember a couple of years ago when a mom posted into the local Asheville Moms Granola Chick Facebook group that she was walking her, 3-year-old down to the local park, and her kid came across a hypodermic needle, and it was all brightly colored, and so the kid picked it up. And her message to all of her fellow moms was, make sure you teach your kids about the needles. It wasn't that, how dare this needle be there? It was, It was, we need to do a better job of not picking up dirty needles.
Right, correct. Well, see, they have these Sharps disposable containers at all the local parks. Right, so you really kind of have already sent out the invitation of, hey, listen, if you want to shoot your illegal drugs up
here. Do it
here.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and do it here, but put the Sharps in the container if you don't mind. And if you go to the parks where these containers are and you look around the containers, ground is covered in needles. Because, you know, when you're trying to put a needle into a hole the size of a 2-liter bottle when you're high after shooting meth, right? I mean, you tend to get a little jittery, I would imagine.
That's assuming that they are even attempting to put it into the hole in the first place.
Correct.
Now,
mind you, we've also had two recent attacks in these parks by groups of I believe it was three young gentlemen. I think they're mostly referred to as juveniles.
Mm-hmm.
They robbed two women, carjacked one of them.
Are they from Charlotte?
That's the first thing I thought, too, because that's a very Charlotte thing, and I think we might be actually kind of stealing some of your image.
Ah.
Oh, you know?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I think we've made the most of that from a tourism standpoint. I think we've made the most of our juvenile crime epidemic. In the Queen City, so the jabbing. I got to think though that this is not something that local tourism officials, local city officials. I got to think they're not crazy about this being what Asheville is going to get known for. And I mean, this story has gone all over the place, right?
It's
everywhere.
Yeah. I did a search the Thursday. So the story broke on a Tuesday afternoon. We were off on Wednesday. I did a search Thursday morning when we were back on the air, and there was I just did a Google search, 25 different local news stations from 25 different states, and this was the top story on all of their websites.
So have you seen any reaction to the, because I must admit that my subscription to the local paper there, whatever's left of it, I think it's down to like 4 sheets at this point. I let it lapse. The juice wasn't worth the squeeze for me. It wasn't worth the money. I don't subscribe anymore. So I don't know if there's been any deeper investigation or has there been any comment from anybody up there in any kind of position of authority or in the tourism field.
So we've not heard a peep from city council. Well, I take that back. We did hear a statement from the mayor. It was a very brief statement. Nothing of any sort of substance, like, you know, we're working hard to make sure this doesn't happen, that type of nonsense. But overall, you know, I've talked to a lot of the law enforcement officers and the police downtown and the folks that work that beat, and you know, they say, look, we're arresting these people, the DA is charging them, and either they're getting into a courtroom, and the judges are just a lot of times tossing these charges out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are repeat offenders. This guy that did the stabbing, he's got a rap sheet as long as my leg. So, you know, he was known to police, if you will. So it's really not a surprise. I mean, listen, when there's no punishment, they're just going to continue to do and do and do. And for these people who do use intravenous drugs, when they're just handing out the paraphernalia that you need to use them, as well as the test kits now, they're also handing out test kits so you can test the drugs that you bought illegally, and you can make sure there's no fentanyl in them, unless you're looking for fentanyl, and in which case, you know, you're in a different situation.
Well, then it tests and it's like, yes, I got a good batch. Let's talk a minute about the tourist, the victim here. Do we know, has that person been identified? I've not seen the person identified yet.
There hasn't been, there's been no ID, but he's going to spend the next year of his life getting tested and probably having to take antivirals. And this isn't the first time that I've heard this particular type of story. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day that works in law enforcement, and an officer was attempting to arrest a suspect. That suspect had been in a fight and had cuts on his hand and was bleeding. And when the officer reached for him, that suspect turned around and punched that officer square in the face, getting blood into his nose and to his mouth. That officer had just been married. and by doctor's orders, was to have no contact, physical contact, with his new wife for 12 months, mm-hmm. and had to go through testing for 12 months and had to take antivirals for 12 months, and the antivirals almost killed him. Mm. It was that bad.
Right. So this guy is now living in a constant state of not knowing, dread that you could have some sort of terrible disease,
right,
that you just have to wait to see if it manifests.
And if it does manifest, you're just kind of stuck with it.
Mm.
And of course, for the tourist, there's no recourse. I mean, what are you going to sue? You can't sue for restitution. Now, I suppose that there's a lawsuit that they could have against the city, and I'm pretty sure I would be looking for a lawyer to find where the city is liable for this.
Mm-hmm.
If the city is allowing needle exchanges to operate within the city, and they can prove somehow that this needle came from one of those needle exchanges, I would think there's a liability there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, with the immunity that these officials have, like, they can have policies and, you know, soft on crime policies like this, and then suffer no repercussions for it whatsoever. So,
yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. You know, we had already seen an 11% drop in tourism last year. I'm interested to see how this changes things moving forward. Now, I know Asheville Airport is on target to go over 2 million visitors this year, which will eclipse what last year's numbers were. But I have to suspect that there are some people out there who are like, you know, maybe we're not going to go to Asheville. We're just going to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And if you do go, I mean, this is broad daylight right in the heart of the tourist district.
Oh, you couldn't find a more crowded street than Biltmore Avenue,
right,
with foot traffic on a Tuesday afternoon.
Right. I mean, this is where everybody goes. The Vance Monument is right there at the heart of downtown Asheville, and everybody is always there. The buskers are there singing and playing, you know, music and stuff. And that's because there are all those tourists, the people experiencing states of houselessness, they are there as well. And and there are some that are obviously deranged. And the city has not made it a priority, obviously, to keep the tourist areas safer. So,
well, and in many times that they've actually encouraged this behavior by providing the resources that they provide, and then by not holding these people accountable. The number of break-ins and damage and graffiti, and now you've got violent attacks, and this isn't the first one.
No,
we've seen multiple of these over the course of the last 12 to 18 months. Violent crime is an issue.
Yeah, well, but look, I mean, this kind of approach has been the standard operating procedure for Asheville.
Yep.
Since I was up there in 2012.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
absolutely, it's like I said, the behavior is encouraged by some.
Yeah. Mark Starling, Morning Guy, WWNC in Asheville. Appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks so much.
You got it, my friend. Take care.
All right, have a great week. That's Mark Starling. Speaking of law and order, a federal judge has tossed a lawsuit that was brought by the ACLU against North Carolina and its anti-riot law. And so so now we are allowed to riot, I think. No, I'm kidding. State Attorney General Josh Stein and three local DAs targeted by the lawsuit had asked for the dismissal. Quote, this is from the U.S. District Judge Loretta Biggs, hardly a right-winger, okay? She said, quote, the challenged statute in this action, the Anti-Riot Act, was originally enacted in 1969 in the midst of the civil rights movement of the 1960s, and student-led demonstrations against the Vietnam War. And according to the amended complaint, it was enacted to crack down on protests and demonstrations. The act makes it a crime to, quote, willfully engage in a riot and to, quote, willfully incite another to engage in a riot when that inciting results in a riot or is directly or imminently likely to produce a riot. Mere presence alone, without an overt act, is not sufficient to sustain a conviction. That is a key part of the law. Your mere presence at a demonstration without doing anything that overtly constitutes rioting or inciting a riot is not sufficient. Your presence is not sufficient alone to sustain a conviction. You got to be doing some rioting. I've been saying this from the beginning when this issue was first proposed, when the amendment was first run in the wake of all of the summer of mostly peaceful but sometimes fiery protests over the murder of St. George Floyd, right? That they wanted to crack down on the rioting because local jurisdictions were not doing so. So they added stiffer penalties for the rioting behavior. And the ACLU was like, no, you can't do that. That's free speech. Rioting is not free speech. It is violence. There is a difference. As Democrat lawmaker Abe Jones, a former judge, told his colleagues, you know what the difference is. This is not the people going around tearing up downtown Raleigh. That is not free speech. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I got to ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Let me go to the phones here. We have Carl waiting patiently. Hello, Carl. Welcome to the program.
Thank you there so much.
Yes, sir.
Quick story. We were in Asheville with some relatives from Wisconsin, had Wisconsin plates, parked in the parking deck, came out from our shopping, found a 3x5 printed, multicolored, and 20-point type saying, tourists are ruining Asheville. Go home. We don't want you.
Interesting. So like a pre-printed card.
Pre-printed. So I sent it. I took a picture and sent it to the mayor, and the mayor forwarded it to somebody else and said, here's another one. And she copied me on the email. So, you know, it's crazy. It's a crazy town.
Most definitely. So when I was there, what I had I developed a bit of a message on this very front, which is that Asheville wants tourist money. They just don't want the tourists. Right. You to come and give them a bunch of money, but they don't want to actually do anything for you. So in the future, if you wouldn't mind just mailing them the money that you would have spent. At all the restaurants and the shops and stuff, just forego the experience of being in the mountains and in that little town, and just send them the money, and then they will like you. So if that's the, or
just go on to Hendersonville.
True that, right? So Hendersonville, and yeah. I've said this too for years, is that the greatest beneficiary of Asheville's moon battery is Hendersonville. Because that's where people are going, because the Hendersonville downtown is quite quaint. They got old historic buildings down there, too. They're going through a revitalization also. And they actually want people to be there, and they treat people nicely when they arrive in Hendersonville. And I probably shouldn't say that, because now people are going to swarm Hendersonville, and then traffic is going to get bad. But look, the leftists in Asheville and in Buncombe County are trying to move into Henderson County. They're trying to take over the Hendersonville Town Council and stuff, because, you know, one is never enough. The inch is never enough. They need the mile. So beware. Are you a North Carolinian that visited Asheville?
Yes, Yeah, we live in Charlotte, and just my wife's cousin who had moved to Wisconsin was down with their entire family, so it really made an impression.
Sure.
They worked hard. They worked hard to come down here. Long way to drive to go to Asheville. That was where they wanted to go.
So I'm interested, though, they're from Wisconsin. They didn't feel a little bit at home with that kind of leftist activism, because Wisconsin's got their own dose of that stupidity up there, too.
No, he's a native charlatan that got moved there on the job.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, that makes sense then. All right, Carl, I appreciate the story. By the way, do you remember the name of the person that the mayor forwarded the email to?
I do not, but I wish I kept that, but I do not remember that.
I would,
but
yeah, if you still have I was going to say, if you still have the email, I would love to have you forward it to me, because I would love to see who she sent it to, because whoever she's sending it to indicates that she thinks at least that this person can do something about it or something. I don't know. Yeah.
I'll dig around. If I find it, I'll send it to you. I got your email.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it. All right, yeah, I had not heard of these flyers. They're big on the flyers up there. They put flyers everywhere about stuff, stupid stuff. But I had not heard about the anti-tourist flyer. These are the people, by the way, I got so many stories like this. These are the folks that they have a thing called Unchain Asheville, which is not about dogs on chains. No. This is about chain retail establishments and restaurants. They don't want any chains to operate. No chain stores. Right, so whenever there's some sort of a redevelopment or a project coming in, and it's a chain, whatever, fill in the blank, they oppose it. They go down to city council, they stink the place up, like literally, it's pretty awful. But they go in there, and because it's a very small room, and so they go in there, and they're like, you know, we don't want this. We want local, buy local, and all of this stuff. And well, except for there was one incident when it was Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's came to town and they tore down a strip mall, and that strip mall had like half a dozen locally owned small businesses in it. And the person who owned the building sold the land in order to get the Trader Joe's. And for some reason, there was no opposition to that project. Yet right across the street, when the Harris Teeter was getting built, they had opposition to that one. They had opposition to tearing down, which was weird too, a Fuddruckers. They wanted to tear down Fuddruckers, which you always have to be very clear when you pronounce that word on an FCC licensed station. But they were going to tear it down. I don't even know if they ever went through with it. They were going to tear it down and they were going to build some apartments. Now, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but Asheville has a bit of a housing crisis. And so you would think, wow, great, more apartments for people to live in. No. You know what they said? You know what the branding campaign against the project was? Don't Charlotte our Asheville. That's what they said. They said building apartment buildings would make them be like us. That's how deranged these people are. Like, Unchain Asheville, but we got to defend Fuddruckers because apartments are the worst evil or something? Right. It's all situational ethics. It's just, like, in this situation, we like Trader Joe's because we want to buy the stuff. Because you got to remember, the activist crowd that are up there, for the most part, like, they're Trustafarians. They're so rich, they don't have to work, but they pretend to be, like, they live this bohemian lifestyle, you know, where they kind of pretend to be poor, but they're not really poor. They just give off the outward, you know, display of living, you know, living off the land and all of this, but they got fat stacks in the account, you know? Oh, man. This is how I came up with the idea of the cartapult, right? Was because they don't like the tourists, but they want the tourist money, and so I suggested you build a massive trebuchet that flings the vehicles over the city. As they approach on the interstate, you just fling them over the city. And as the cars are flipping through the air, all the money pours down. So the money lands in the city and people can run around and pick them up. Just watch out for the needles. And you pick up all the money off the streets. And then the cars go over the city and they land on the outskirts. I'm not sure on the landing yet. Haven't never figured that part out. But that was my idea. The cartapult. It still has some design work to do. Email from Jan, who says, saying... We Ashevillians will like tourists if they send money and stay away is not true. It's more apt to say that we won't hate you if you just give us the money and stay away. Now, we're not going to like you. We're just not going to hate you. That's fair. As I recall, he says, Councilman Cecil Bothwell was a former councilman, was a huge proponent of not wanting tourists downtown in Asheville. Right. It's one of those things, like, I've never met a population that is more hostile to the very industry that makes it a good place to live, which is tourism. It does. And I, like, otherwise, you know what would be there? Well, what was there prior to like the 80s? There's a lot of, not a lot. You talk to some of like the old school original Ashevillians, the people that have been there for, you know, generations and stuff, like they're fine with the chain restaurants. They liked them. They remember when Applebee's opened up and it was like a big deal. Like, oh my gosh, we got an Applebee's now. We have a place to eat, you know? But a lot of leftists moved in over the years and they like the grittiness. Oh, it's just gritty, you know? Oh, they want a libertine lifestyle. They want, they believe it's their town, their city. And so they, and they vote accordingly because the town is run by Democrats. It was sort of conservative blue dog Democrat. And then the party succumbed, as did the National Party, to the, you know, leftist activists inside their ranks. And now they're screwed because nobody will vote for Republicans and there aren't any even really left in Asheville. So, Scott says, Asheville, yeah, that place sucks now. Used to go all the time, but it's gross and unsafe. Hendersonville is the best. See, I feel like I shouldn't be saying that because it's like a sledding hill, you know? You don't tell people where your sledding hills. You don't tell people where your fishing hole is. Because then everybody goes there and then it's not cool anymore. It doesn't. Anyway. All right, now let me Psaki back. This is from CarolinaJournal.com. Judge Loretta Biggs, federal judge, U.S. District Court, dismissed a lawsuit from the ACLU. The ACLU had argued that the definition of riot in the North Carolina law was vague and overbroad, and that that's a violation of the U.S. Constitution's First and 14th Amendments, as well as three sections of the state's Constitution and its Declaration of Rights. Here's what Biggs said, quote, despite plaintiffs' allegations of its members' regular participation in protests and demonstrations, their intent to engage in similar activities in the future, and the past arrest of individuals under the act, plaintiff does not specifically allege an intent to engage in conduct that would inevitably violate the Anti-Riot Act. So what is she saying? She's saying, you're suing, claiming that your members are going to be charged under this law, but you claim also that your members don't engage in that behavior. So they would not be getting charged under the law. And all history shows, because the law has been on the books for decades, that people don't get charged with rioting when they haven't been rioting. And so she threw the case out. So good for her. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.